Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the Entire Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted today to be back on our live, our Facebook, our radio broadcast today for the study in the Word of the Lord. I just give God all the praise and all the honor today. I magnify his holy name. You know, God is so good, hallelujah, and he's so worthy to be praised, hallelujah. I don't know about you today, but I know I come to lift up the name of Jesus and study, hallelujah. God is a good God, and God is so worthy, I tell you. He is worthy, hallelujah, to be praised. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and we're going to get right on into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 139. That's Psalms 139. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar off. Thou compasses my path in my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be bright upon me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the work and that are thy work, and that my soul knows thy will. I have just read you the first 14 verses of Psalms 139. May God really add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, the doers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace this evening, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm confessing today and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, just thanking you for another opportunity to study your word, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us and teach us today. Father, open up our minds, open up our understanding, even open up our hearts, God, in the today, God, to study the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, to just make it simple, God. Just make it simple that we may receive everything through this word, Father, that we're studying, that we may know what you mean, God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to just protect us and guide us and lead us, Father. Protect our family, protect our homes and our vehicles. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bind the strong man up right now. Just bind him up right now. Bind him up right now. Bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every medium, every demon on assignment. Father, I ask you to bind them up right now. I bind them too, and I cast them out. I command them to go in the mighty name of Jesus. You say, whatever I bind up on earth, you are binding up in heaven. And whatever I release or loose on earth, you are loosing in heaven. Father, bind every spoken curse, every negative word, every bit of pain. And Father, strengthen our faith. Strengthen our understanding today
in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us want to study more. Let us want to be before you more, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let us call us closer unto thee, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you tonight. I pray. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. Amen. Amen. So let it be. So let it be. Good evening, everyone. We're going to get ready to start for the reading of the Word of God on today. I don't know who goes first. Oh, yeah, Prophet Carlin goes first. Prophet Brown.
First Samuel 27. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is none better for me than that I should speedily escape the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him in Achish, the son of Machok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, the Belle's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country."
Yeah.
That I
don't know. Prophet Warren said you read 27 already. I do not remember. I can't remember. Can you?
Yeah, it talks about Nabal and Abigail. And
that was the yeah, but that was the one before that, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one before that? No, that was in 25. It's talking about Nabal and Abigail and them in chapter 25.
Well,
just go on and read 27 anyway. We're going to read 27 anyway. Finish it.
Okay, we'll watch that. I'll start at 5 because I don't know. Then David said, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town and country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in a royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was one full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up to raid the Geshurites, the Jezreelites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from old, as you go through Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, and the camels and apparel, and returned it and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, "Where have you made the raid today?" And David would say, "Against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jerusalemites, or against the southern area of the Kenites." David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, "Lest they should inform on us, saying, 'Thus David did, and thus was the behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achaz believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhorred him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. Amen.
Chapter 28. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their names together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And the chief said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, truly thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. Now Samuel was dead. All Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophet. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on another raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him, up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto me? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophet nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then do thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is becoming thine enemy? And the Lord had done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shall thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel unto the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore trembled, and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy word, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat up on the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread therefore. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Prophetess Martin. Thank you, Prophetess Brown, for the word of God. We are going to answer these questions, and we're going to have to start writing down. I don't know whether, because I read up so far, I can't even remember because I had all this stuff already in me, so I really don't know where we stopped at, but it's good. We'll do 3 chapters on Thursday. That's how we're doing it. So chapter 27, question number 1, who did David and his men go to live among? Who did they go to live among? Should be verse number 3. Y'all better study these questions. I ain't answering all these questions. I'm not.
Is it the land of
today.
Philistines?
Yeah.
The land
it
of
was,
the Philistines?
It was, yeah, it was Gath. The land of, in the Gath is a city in Philistines. I'm giving y'all the verses. Y'all can answer them. Because just like I read, y'all going to have to start reading. On whom did David make his attack? Verse number 8.
David and his men went up to raid the Gershonites and the Jezreelites and the Amalekites.
Yep, that's right. Oh. And all those are the cities that's in Philistine, in the cities of Philistine. Why did he kill every man and woman? I think that's verse 11.
David would neither slain nor man or woman alive to bring the news, death, saying, least thou should inform us, saying, and thus was behavior all the time when he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. Verse 11.
You said why he do that?
Why did he kill every man and woman?
Is it because God told him to? I know in the last couple of chapters, when God was sending them to kill the people, he would say, kill the men and the women. Don't leave nobody alive.
Well, I
was thinking he was trying to build trust with the people of God to show them that he wouldn't, you know, turn against them in battle.
Yeah. And he was. He didn't leave no survivors, so there would be no one to bring news to the king of Gath. He didn't leave nobody, you know, so they could go tell him what he did, you know, go in like that. He didn't leave nobody to tell on him. I just put it like that. He didn't leave nobody to tell nothing on him. That's what I got. What did the king of Gath assume the lead of David? And I think that was verse 12. So he believed David hated his own people, Israel, very much and would be a servant to him. No, I can't hear you. I'm going to have to go downstairs so I can open this other line up. Hold on, Mimi. Just give me 1 second. Now give me a second. Let me go downstairs so I can open this line up. But David was He lived among his enemy. And I guess he did that because Saul was chasing him. So he had really no choice but to live among them because Saul was chasing after him. And so he tired of running. He knew Saul wasn't going to run up on the Philistines. He knew he wasn't going to come to Gath because Gath is a city in Philistines. And so David, he rose up against about 3 or 4 of them cities over there. He fought and killed people right over there in three of those cities over there. He went over there and fought against them in their own town. In their own city. See, I sure didn't want to come down. It's freezing down here. Anyway. That's why I tried to say that the point was warmer, but it's okay. Give me just 1 second. Because we want everybody to be a part. Everybody. Um,
Okay, you're on there.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Did you hear me?
McKinney. Yeah, I can hear you. I'm going to pick this door. Okay, go ahead. So, Saul was chasing David so tough, and David was tired of running, so he went on and moved over there, moved to the field where the Philistines was. No, that was their enemy. He was definitely their enemy. They was definitely, because they fought against them all the time, and they could probably almost whoop them. If it wasn't for God, they would be whooping them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go on over here to unless somebody else got something, we're going to answer these questions, though, in chapter 28, and then we can still talk about 27 and 28. Verse 1, who did Saul seek to get information from?
We didn't answer 4.
Oh, we did?
We didn't answer, 4 on 27.
Okay, what did the king of Gath soon believe of David?
That he would burn all his bridges with the people of God.
Yeah, that David hated Israel, that he hated his own people, and he didn't really.
Yep.
He was just trying to stay out of the reach of Saul. You're right. Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Not burn
he couldn't. Uh-huh. So,
yep.
And what else? You can talk about it.
That's okay.
So they felt like the king felt like he didn't have nowhere else to go. And
okay.
He didn't figure that David was running from Saul or just trying to stay out of the prophet's way so he wouldn't get in bad shape with God.
Can I
say something? Yes, you can.
Well, to me, in chapter 27, to some degree, most of us Christians, we all, to me, have been where David is, you know, the backsliding state. You know, we can understand what David is doing, you know, but it's still wrong. And it's dangerous, very dangerous. But it pleased God to leave David to himself in that thing, as well as in other things, that it might be, you know, demonstration of what, like, the best of men is. You know, because he's building his character.
Right.
He really built it by God's grace and his direction of God's mercy.
Okay.
You know, I just really think that David decided to do something that he had no control over. And
right.
In one sense, he made God mad, upset, but and you know what I'm saying? And in the other sense, he made God, you know, look at the whole thing in a different light. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just think that, you know, we all play a part, just like David did in the black backsliding thing, you know, with Achish. Am I saying it right?
Achish.
So Achish. That's all I want.
But you know what? David hadn't backslid. He went over there trying to stay out the way of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to run. He was running from Saul. He wasn't trying to backslide. Who was that? Apostle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just saying he was running for his life from Saul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he did lie. He still lied to gain favor with Achish because he knew the Philistine leaders would be pleased to hear of the raid that he did of the people of Israel. So I'm not going to call it really backsliding, but no. Achish was a type of person that God did not favor. You get what I'm saying? He was like
no,
secular in the world.
He was, but he was
saying?
A Philistine. He was a Philistine. He wasn't Israel. He was living in the city of Gath with the Philistines. Maybe he was an Israelite, because he was living in. But it says that was the city of Philistine Gath. I don't know, but that's what I thought. I thought Gath was in the city of the state or whatever it is of the Philistines, where the Philistines live. That's what I thought. And David just only went over there, Achish, where Achish is, to get away from Saul, because Saul was not going to go to the Philistines. Mm-mm. He wasn't going over there.
He killed all those people, so he wouldn't be exposed of his life.
That's right.
So that's far beyond backsliding. Yeah, he killed all the women and the men just so they, you know, Achish or whoever that is,
wouldn't tell on them. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. Let's do the questions on 28. Who did Saul seek to get information from? Samuel. In chapter 28.
Was that the new name? Indoor.
Yeah.
One.
And who was she?
Witch of Endor.
She was a medium. They said medium.
Mm-hmm.
People call her
medium.
And psychic, but she a witch. That's basically what a
witch
medium is if you look it up. That's what they call them in the King James Version, because some of us have different translations of the Bible. But in the King James and some of these biblical dictionaries, it says a medium is a witch. Ain't no other way around it, because is she like a psychic? She communicates with the dead.
That's right.
That's what she communicates with the dead.
And that's what I came up with too. Look, what I came up with too, Apostle, is that it wasn't easy to find a medium in the land of Israel because Saul had previously put them out the land. So Saul asked his staff.
So these are familiar spirits. Yeah.
Right. So he asked one of his staff members to find him one. So they had just a woman from one of them cities.
Yeah.
What it was, but it was a city round there that they all went to, just about. So he had, you know, found one. It wasn't that easy because he had put them out. Yep.
Yeah, he did. He put all of those familiar spirits out and out of the town. But one of his men knew where one was and told Saul. So what was Saul told would happen to him and his son?
That they was going to be with him. So basically they going to die.
That's in verse 19. Yep, in verse 19. Because they loved their father so much, and he had done so much, and even calling up this witch, you bringing curse on your whole family. That's why, because Jonathan was a good man, and he loved the Lord and David.
Loved David, yeah. Called him his brother.
Who would? Yep, sure did. Who would be made king in place of Saul? I didn't even write it down.
David.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I didn't even write the verse down. I just put the V. But, yeah, David, because God had already anointed him king. He had Samuel, before Samuel died, he had Samuel to anoint him king already.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, with this thing, it's kind of, you know, when you run, you study running from your enemy, and your enemy is powerful. Like Saul was, you know, he had twice or three times as many men as David had, and he studied running from this king that had more men, have more power, and Saul's army men were trained to fight. They were trained to fight. David had some of his brothers, some of his friends. In all of them.
Some of them even left their post. They started running. Some of them left their post.
And I think, too, that God's word to Saul, it didn't change from the time he first said it until the time it was fulfilled. You know, I think Saul thought that time would change God's mind. But time never, to me, it never changes God's mind. What changes God's mind to me, what I believe in, is repentance and your brokenness. You know, that may change God's mind, but never time. So I think that, you know, God's word to Saul didn't change from the time he first said it, you know, that he would be made king. David would be made king.
Right. Well, In 27, well, anyway, we'll talk about this witch. Now, you in God all this time. You've been loving God all this time. You've been doing what God called you to do all this time, and you getting all frustrated because you know you disobeyed God, and he going to put somebody else as king. He already knew in the when we have Bible study in Thursday, Saul had already said, I know you will be the next king, David. See, I know you will be the next king, David. So, and that was good. That's good. That was good. He went on and told him and admitted, I know you're going to be king. It's fine. The next king, that's fine. But see, the thing is, David, y'all bear with me because, I every time I start teaching or praying or preaching, I get the distraction. So just know that when I be thrown off, people be texting me and all kind of stuff and trying to call me and stuff. And I just look at the phone, but I'm going to stop looking at that. But when he got so desperate, you got to go to a witch. You can't get a word from the Lord from nobody, but you got to go to a witch. What's wrong with you? Oh, you done messed up. And then you got the lady, this thing, to call up Samuel's spirit. He's like, what is it? He was mad. What is wrong with you? Got a witch messing with me, and I'm trying to rest in my on my death in my grave. What's wrong with you? And he said, that's why you ain't gonna be king. She already called David. She already done told David. I anointed David. This is the stuff witches will do. These familiar spirits and things like that. You can't deal with that. But Saul had put all of them out. But he sent this servant to find one. And I don't guess she was in the city. She probably was on the outskirts in the woods somewhere. And you have to be careful with witches. If they can bring folks back from the dead, that wasn't mean and evil. She wouldn't have never did it if she had known that was Saul. She wouldn't have never did it. She wouldn't have never done that. So, Then, anybody else got something to say before I go on?
I just wanted to say, David decided to spare Saul, decision to spare Saul was because he knew that God promised that he would inherit the throne of Israel. He knew that Saul,
right,
that Saul would be in the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People back and read like, what's that first time? 24, I think. 24.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, he could have killed Saul so many times.
Mm-hmm.
He should have caught Chip Saul too many times. But he said, that's God's anointed. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. So he said, touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. He was running from Saul all the time. But Saul himself was so disobedient to what God was saying. God said, no, I can't have this. I told you. The people didn't choose you. I told you.
So,
let me see where we are now. Okay, we talked about the witch. And if she had it, like you said, if she had known it was Saul, she wouldn't have never did it. Because, see, she's not trying to bring up Samuel for somebody she know that's out of their mind halfway and getting her in trouble with God. And then she turned around and cooked for him.
Mm-hmm.
She turned around. But that lets you know God can make your enemies your footstool. He can make your enemies. Right.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
So, In chapter 28, go ahead, baby.
Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, he did eat from the medium, the lady, and to me that was just like the last, you know, when he ate that night was like the last meal.
Yeah.
So that was like off death row now. You know how they be, you know how men be on death row in prison, and when they, the night before, they have whatever they want. Awaiting their execution in the morning or whatever. To me, that was just like that. It was, you know, because she had cooked for him and everything. And I mean, that says a lot, like you were saying, you know, and it just reminds me of how right these days in this time they have the last meal, and you get to choose from chicken and steak and all the rest of that, and if you want apple juice or Diet Coke
right.
or wine, you get what I'm saying? And, I mean, he ate well, so she cooked him
right.
some of that good meal. You know, it even say what some of the stuff that she cooked. And that, like, it just reminds me of what's going on today in this era, day and time,
mm-hmm.
that it was
right.
back then how it was his last meal. And that was basically mm-hmm. his last meal. And his son
it was.
Would become, you know, would be dead, him and his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was a curse. Yeah. That was a curse he brought on his family, I feel like, because he was doing the wrong stuff. And see, back yeah. in those days, even with David, Achish, back in those days, you had foreign men or leaders. They are, if they knew somebody was powerful as a leader and as a captain or commander, whatever, they are hire them to protect them, to protect the king. And it was very important to do that. And see, Achish, whatever his name is, he trusted David to do that. And David did that. He did the job. But he also killed everybody in that town. And so they would go back and they didn't have nothing to report to the king, you know. And
yeah.
he was hoping David would be loyal to him, though. Really, he did.
Yep. That's what he did. Yep. And that's sad because we got that stuff going on in these times now where the
yeah.
loyalty with relationship is all messed up because it's based off of stuff like this. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lies.
Yep.
Betrayal. It's based off
yep.
of trying to do, you know, trying to be sick, make a name for yourself. And, you know, that's not the type of name that you really want down the line, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what David did. And he stepped in some he couldn't get off. And to me, I just think David, you know, he just like some of the people that I know and seen.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? David sinned just like we sin every day. You know, we all sin and fall short. David was, I guess he was trying to do the best he could to get by. I'm going to say that because David was a man after God's own heart. All the time he
yep.
had God at his heart, you know. And so whatever he did, God forgave him. God forgave him. He gave him wisdom and knowledge to do some of the stuff he did. Because if he had not killed everybody, because, you know, they usually, when they attack a city or a town, the Lord sometimes tell them, don't leave nothing. Kill everything. And don't bring nothing out of the
mm-hmm.
city. Leave
including
it there.
The animals.
Mm-hmm. Including the animals. He tell them to kill men, women, boys, and girls, babies,
mm-hmm.
everything, and they'll leave them right there. So it wasn't
yep.
strange or it didn't, you know, it didn't, wasn't, something that they hadn't done before. That's why it was so easy for him to do that, but because he was trying to protect himself. So, you know, that king wouldn't go back and get those other cities that David attacked all together, and they would have went against David. David didn't have but 600 men. Mm-hmm. So anybody else got something to say about him? I want to hear if anybody got something to say.
Did the Lord stop talking to David, I want to say?
Mm-mm. He didn't.
He did.
That's why he survived, because God was
okay.
with him. He can't do nothing without God. God was with him. God saw him. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought he wasn't answering him. When he trying to, well, I can't find it, but
mm-hmm.
I think he was talking
with Saul.
Oh, that was Saul. Okay. Okay.
I'm not answering. I did want to share an observation that when David was working for Achish, fighting with the Philistines, these were mutual territorial enemies, because one of the places that King David had to attack was the Amalekites, and that's who God had sent Saul to, and he told him to get everybody, but he didn't do that, and
he didn't do that, and
it caused a problem. So in God's divine providence, David was still able to do it and do what he said, because these were the enemies of Israel, and David kind of twisted what he would do, but still these were mutual enemies of the people of Israel. And I guess he was, some of it need to be clear to me, because this is a story like, well, how is this working? But I see that one of the places he attacked was Amalekites, and that's who got
it.
See, if King Saul would have did that, he wouldn't have lost his kingdom to David. And so God's divine providence worked with Achish. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was three of those cities he had to attack, and Amalekite was one of them, but in all of them was near or in Philistine. He had to. And see, David was the enemy. The Philistine was the enemy of David. So if he had left somebody, they would have tried to kill David and them little 600 men. And like I said, these are David's neighbors, his brothers, his kin people, his friends. These not battle men. These not military men like Philistines. They trained their men to fight. That's why they were so good at what they was doing, because they were trained to do it. But David just had some folk, like, you know, come on, fight with me. Come on, help them. Come on. And they felt sorry for David, too. And they all felt like they were family, so they went to David and wanted to be in fight with him. Mm-hmm. But that was a good observation as well. Yeah, this is a chapter right here. You have to really understand it, because if God was not with David, he wouldn't have never been able to do that. That's why we have to always remember, you cannot do nothing without God. David couldn't do nothing without God. He couldn't have never killed all of them with 600 men without God. Mm-mm. He had to have God with him. And if God wasn't for him to do that, he would have turned his back. And don't let God turn his back on you, because whatever you're doing, not going to work. Won't work. Mm-hmm. So, any more questions or comments? How many minutes we got? 2 minutes. Well, it's good. Anybody else have anything? Or we get out here now. We writing down that on Thursday we're going to do 3 chapters and be done with 1 Samuel. And then next week we'll carry on. And then the first week of August, it will be no Bible class, because I'll be going on my vacation. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody happy for me. Nobody happy for me.
And me.
Yeah, it's a blessing for me, honey. It's a blessing. And it's not going to last for 3 or 4 days, but that's all right. I take them. I'm good. But, yeah, we thank and praise God. Now, tomorrow I'm going to get on the prayer line an hour early at 6 o'clock. At 7:30, I'm going to be going off the air. Tomorrow evening, I said I was going to start the minister's training at 9. But I won't have to. I'm going to go ahead on and have it at the regular time at 7:30. It's 6:30 Central Time, 7:30 Eastern Time. I won't have to move it. I have to tell everybody that I've already told. I don't have to do it. So I just want to thank each and every one. We got a good crowd on tonight. It's just a lot of them ain't saying nothing, but they here. you know, I have so many on here, I had to get on my 22-inch or 24-inch screen so I could get everybody up there. I couldn't do it on the laptop.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to get ready to go off, Father, in the name of Jesus.
God, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you for each and every one that came on to just study and share their thoughts on your word, God. Father, we thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for opening up our understanding, opening up our mind, God, and making it simple for us to understand. Father, we just thank you, God. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, cover their homes and vehicles, and just bless them tonight. Just bless each and every one of them for their obedience to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I ask you to bless, and I pray and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I see you tomorrow. God bless you by the grace of God. Y'all have a good night.
God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
Love you
all.
Love you. Love you all. God bless.
Love you.
God bless you as well. Good night.
Good night.